You're listening to SBS News.
Elder abuse can take many forms, including financial and physical abuse, exploitation and neglect of older people. It can happen to people living in residential facilities, with family or independently. Research by the Australian Institute of Family Studies reveals most elder abuse is perpetrated by family members, with adult children those most likely to abuse their parents. Financial abuse appears to be the most common form of abuse and often occurs with psychological abuse. Federal Attorney General Christian Porter says the government will provide $18 million over 4 years for national trials of the service starting in June.
As Australia's population ages, and with the best estimates that we have about the prevalence of elder abuse, we're talking about upwards of 185,000 Australians a year who might suffer some form of elder abuse, which, as Kay noted, might occur in a financial setting or might be psychological abuse or in some cases physical abuse.
The service will consist of 5 specialist elder abuse units, 3 health justice partnerships and 4 case management and mediation services. Some advocacy groups say they would also like to see changes to power of attorney laws, which are contributing to financial abuse in some cases. Appointing a power of attorney gives your lawyer or family member or a trusted other the legal authority to look after your financial affairs on your behalf if you're unable to, and is often made when people are making a will. National Seniors Australia's Chief Advocate Ian Henschke welcomes the government's initiative but says more needs to be done to standardise power of attorney and enduring power of attorney laws across Australia.
We need national consistency. That gives people the ability to set out particular standards and also have an online register for enduring powers of attorney. Sometimes people might move from one place to another. Often elderly relatives go and move in with someone in another territory as they get older. And therefore, I think it's very important that we have powers of attorney that do reflect across the nation rather than state by state.
Mr. Henschke says it's important people make arrangements about their future when they're relatively young and in good health. This includes making a will, considering power of attorney, and making an advance care directive, which is a document outlining what kind of end-of-life medical decisions you would like made on your behalf. He suggests appointing more than one person to oversee your care if you ever need it.
Make sure that they've got their power of attorney sorted out and they've actually got more than one person as a power of attorney. In fact, you can actually have a situation where you have to have 2 people sign to agree on things. Often it's best to have a second check in those areas if you are concerned about one particular relative having all the power. Have a will which is quite clear, and often it's not advisable to do them on your own. I also believe that one of the great things you can do is have your wishes from a medical point of view written down so you can have an advanced care directive.
Christian Porter says the hotlines will have to cater for Indigenous and migrant Australians and people from different cultural backgrounds with special language needs. He says a trial in the Kimberley region has been developed to try to combat the challenge of ageing and elder abuse specifically for Indigenous Australians. Mary Patetsos is the chairwoman of the Federation of Ethnic Communities Councils of Australia. She's also urging older people who have concerns to speak to community organisations and medical professionals.
The organisations that are established to look after older people from all backgrounds will have that information at hand so they can ring them. The other fact is that I know that the Commonwealth will be talking to primary caregivers, including general practitioners. So if there's any instances of concern in regards to abuse, it is absolutely beholden on either the person that knows or if you're in fact the older person themselves to talk to your general practitioner or to your pharmacist or to someone who's a trusted person and just explain that this is going on and that you require some assistance. The hotline will be well known to those people and they will be able to access it with you.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.